Now, my guest is Red Hot for the Messiah. I've known him for many years, and he's a man that walks in the glory that releases such miracles that I want to pick his brain so that you can walk in those miracles, so that I can walk in those miracles. But let's get to know Mahesh Chavda a little bit better. Mahesh, I understand you came from 800 years of ancestry of Hindus, and at age 13, for the first time in your life, someone spoke to you about Jesus and gave you a Bible. What did you think?
It was awesome. It was really at the age of 16, and I was in Kenya, Africa. I was born in Mombasa, Kenya, and of Hindu parents, of Indian. My parents were both from India, and my father worked for the British government there. So Kenya and India at those times were colonies of the British Empire. And so they would have a lot of people go back and forth to work in these places. So my father worked there. And so I was born and raised up in Kenya, Africa. But we were very devout Hindus and very proud. I came from a Rajput tradition that means sons of kings. So we used to own, I think my family would say, remember now, there were one time rulers of, a territory in India until someone came and beat the daylights out of them. But they were still had the proud tradition of royalty.
So that had to be very hard when a Christian started witnessing to you coming from such a tradition and such a heritage.
Yeah, the offer, obviously, it's what she did. This was the wife. They were both missionaries, but this was the lady who came and was doing a kind of little program somewhere out there playing a guitar or something for the kids in the neighborhood. And then my niece was with her, and she was saying, I'm thirsty. Whose home can I go? My niece invited her to come to my house. So she knocked on the door. She was a little girl, but the missionary knocked on the door, and then I opened the door, and she said, hi, may I have a drink of water? And I said, of course. I invited her in, and she ended up giving me a New Testament in English. And I said, thank you, and just got to know her a little bit, but that was it. But when I started reading this book, that was the most amazing thing. I had never read a book like that. And part of it was the fact that, you know, of course, I read the Gita and Upanishads and the Mahabharata. These were some of the holy books of the Hindu faith. And it's all about goodness and all of that. But when I read the Bible, it was so unusual. That said, the thing that was unusual for me was I tell people it's as if the author himself is standing right next to you, telling you what it's about, because the words started leaping out at me. And especially the chapter in John 14, where the Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And that's where my own religious traditions and the centuries of what my faith of my ancestors and my fathers came and said, no, we have our ways. There are many ways to God. And here is Christ claiming, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. And so that's where the struggle came.
And you did what the Bible talks about. You started counting the cost, and you came to a conclusion. You said, no. But then you were kind of like half asleep, and an amazing thing happened to you.
Correct. I was still struggling, and it's true what you're saying is I knew what this meant. I knew what it meant was that I would have to turn my back on all my traditions and how we had thought of God, and
I can relate. I'm Jewish. We've been back more than 800 years. But go ahead.
True. Now, I could trace back my ancestry about 900 years, but that was, of course, the Hindu faith has been for a long time.
Right.
But when this came, I it was very hard because I said, and if I did so, what would my mother and my brothers and sisters, my father had passed away when I was five, but all my, my loved ones, what would they say? And they would turn against me. And there was a great fear that rose up. And so I was really struggling. And I decided, in fact, the fear was so much that I made up my mind, well, I'm not going to be thinking about this anymore. I'm not going to be thinking about Jesus anymore. I'm not going to read the Bible anymore. And I had the Bible open before me. It was around 9 o'clock in the evening. I so remember it clearly in Mombasa in Kenya because the mosquitoes were all buzzing around my head and I had a little blanket over my head. And I was reading the Bible and then I said, I'm not going to read this again. It was too challenging. And so I was crying. I remember I was thinking, well, I'm not going to think about Jesus anymore. And suddenly I felt my head go down and I lost consciousness to a degree in the sense of my head hit the table, and yet my consciousness was right there. I could see myself. My spirit emerged from me, and I could see myself. And then I found myself in this place of the most, immediately almost, I was in another dimension, and I was walking on these wonderful streets of gold, and the atmosphere was just astoundingly joyful and wonderful, and the beauty of it was beyond any kind of words I can imagine or I can describe in human language. And a joy started bubbling out of me that I had never experienced yet in my life. And it was, things were alive, more alive than I ever realized in this realm. And I heard the most wonderful sounds, and I saw light and living rainbows all around me. The light, but I'm still affected by it. It was living, and it was singing light, and it went and penetrated every ounce of my being and put every cell in my being in the purest ecstasy. There's no word to describe it. I guess there is. In the Bible, it says joy unspeakable and full of glory. So I was being filled with joy unspeakable. It's hard to describe. It's nearly impossible to describe in language, in human language. And I saw colors I had never imagined existed, and flowers, and grass, they were all alive. It was like almost the flowers were singing in joy. The grass was waving in ecstasy. And all of this joy, and then the living beams of light all around me, and then that thickened around this one form. There was a light brighter than all the other lights, and it was like brighter than 10,000 suns put together. And yet it did not hurt my eyes. You know, very, very bright light, you want sunglasses or something. But this was like living light that my eyes just brightened and responded to it. And it was the light, concentrated light, 10,000 times brighter than anything else, came towards me. And in that light, I saw Jesus. I knew it was him. And portion of his face was hidden, but I could see his eyes. And it was like the concentration of joy, and victory was coming towards me. Triumph was walking towards me. And as he came, the joy just started increasing in me. And he came and put his hand on my shoulders and said, my little brother. And, I knew I had found the one who loved me the most. More than anyone in my family, more than my own mother, I knew I had found love. And it was in the eyes of the Lord Jesus. And as I remember his eyes, it was as if he had taken every bit of suffering and hurt and pain that exists in the world. And yet, from his eyes streamed out love and victory and triumph. And it's hard to describe all of these things really happening in that moment. And I stayed in that ecstasy. And the next thing I remember was the roosters crowing at 5 o'clock in the morning all around. You know, there were some roosters around, and chickens where I lived used to live in they were crowing, and I woke up. And all that time, I had been in this pure joy and place that I now consider I was in the heavenly realm, in the glory.
The light beams that you saw in heaven, they were actually singing.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
It's like they had a vibrancy. They had a vibration. They were picking up from the presence of the glory. I guess in the Hebrew, they call it the Shekinah, but it was, there was a part of it. They would just come, and my heart and my being responded to this song. And the light beams would sing, like, I love you, I love you, I've always loved you, I love you, I love you, I'll always love you. It was, one time I tried to tell my children what I'd seen, and that was the song. It was like almost like how you would sing a lullaby to your sleeping as your child gets to go.
Mahesh, our time is slipping away, and I am so excited to introduce your brand new book, just literally off the press, called The Power of the Cross, Epicenter of Glory. And when I think about you, I think about some of my friends that you were friends with, like Ruth Heflin. And I also think of a man that's lived quite a fasted, F-A-S-T-E-D, life. And I think about a man that has had so many miracles. And you have written this brand new book, which literally, of all the miracles you've seen, and you've seen the deaf here and the blind see and the lame walk and people from stage 4 cancer healed, all the miracles point to the glory that comes from the blood and the cross. And we're making this brand new book plus a special CD, Enthroned When God Reigns, that so many miracles come from your CDs, available for a gift of $29. Call our order only line, 1-800-447-2697. 1-800-447-2697. I understand when you sing what the light beams sang to you, that many times people are touched and healed.
That's correct. Yes. And it's such a living thing. And I feel like when you're, it's all to do with Jesus. It's like my spirit and my being picked up the vibration of the Shekinah. That's the vibration of the glory of God that was in heaven, and that was around Jesus.
Just out of curiosity, the Shekinah, we Jewish people think in terms of as in the Holy of Holies in the temple, and you experienced that in heaven. Have you experienced that same type of Shekinah glory on earth?
Yes, a few years ago, we had in our local headquarters in Charlotte, North Carolina, we had a tent because the meetings would grow so big, so we had to have them in a tent. And this was about witnessed by about 1,200 people, that when I started singing, I felt like in that, the Second Corinthians, the whole thing of now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I started singing, now the Lord is the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, liberty, liberty. And I'm not a singer, but I just felt the joy of the Spirit, and I started singing about the Spirit of the Lord. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And then I started just dancing around that and just thinking, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is healing, and then there is glory. And as I was started singing, the people started standing up and pointing towards the center of the tent, and there was a cloudy pillar that started manifesting a golden light, and it was swirling, and there were like feathers in there too, little feathers, and we had never seen something like that in that concentrated form, and people outside the tent said it was being seen outside, and so we have it on video, It was videoed.
So did many people see this?
Yeah, about 1,200 people saw it. And there were many pastors who who were there.
Can you imagine if, rather than every once in a while, we walked in that Shekinah glory of God 24/7? Is that day coming, Mahesh?
I believe so. I believe that it is from honoring Yeshua HaMashiach, honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, and honoring what he did at Calvary. And it's like an explosion that happened for the entire universe that began at the cross of Jesus Christ, a work where the Lamb of God laid his life down and then was resurrected on the third day. That work is speaking, it's still decontaminating the universe. It decontaminates individuals from sin, which is an offense to God, but we can't do it on ourselves. Our good works, nothing can do that, even if it's good for us to do it. It's the power of the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. And in a sense, the word decontamination, we are getting familiar with it when there is pollution and all that. We need to decontaminate people or ground from poison. Well, every person, however good we are, even as children, that we have sinned.
You know what this reminds me of, Mahesh? When you literally went into the cells of a diseased liver to heal it. Now, that may sound strange to people, but tell me about that.
This was just about a year ago. Said that a pastor called me. He was crying, and he's a very good friend of mine, and he says, we're at this place in the intensive care unit, and they've just told this precious lady who was one of his parishioners that their 17-year-old daughter was dying. She had, out of some mental depression, she had taken overdose of pills, and it had put her liver in danger. The liver was not going to function anymore, and there was, she was dying, and there was not enough time to give her a liver transplant. So then he said he heard the Lord say, call the general. So he phoned me and said, do you have anything? And I said, well, I don't have anything right now, but let me pray for this girl. And I, when I hung up, I turned to the Lord, and it was as if, and I'd mentioned this in prayer need to my wife Bonnie, and we both, in a sense, entered in prayer, and I stepped into this bubble of the glory, I call it, because we can walk, and what I feel like everybody, all of us, a challenge as we believe in the Lord is to be ambassadors of the glory. That means we, around us to a degree everywhere, and there's an atmosphere of the presence of God that we need to cultivate. But that's, I was in a bubble that's different from outside. Outside that realm, the doctors may say, well, your child is dying. But in the glory bubble, the Lord can say and speaks his glory. I am the Lord that healeth thee. So I stayed in that situation, in that intensity of prayer, even though I did other things, I was around in that bubble of glory for about 26 hours. And then I felt like I almost like popped out, and I heard the Lord say, now call him. The she's going to live. The liver is whole. So I phoned her, and I felt like the Lord took me by hand, and we went into every little corner of that liver and was decontaminating it off the poison through the power of the blood. And about 26 hours later, I called the mother, and I said, the Lord says, this is her future. I not only had the word about the healing, but that there was this future, this is what she's going to do. And the doctors at that very same time brought in a report saying, listen, we can take no credit. The liver is whole. Your daughter is going to live. And so I realized that the Lord had completely made, it was the Lord who did it, healed her liver.
Mahesh, many years ago, learned about the glory of God and to walk in that glory. And as a matter of fact, I on my notes, but I have not heard this story, Mahesh. There was a time you were in Korea, and in an airport of all places, the Lord began to speak and prophesy over people. Tell me about that.
That was an unusual time and quite a funny time, because I was about 8 days ministering in Korea. And when you, I love the Korean people, but they are intense. They will not want to miss the presence of God. So I had, so as if they had put in hundreds of straws in myself and sucked out all the juice that I had. I was so tired at the end of the days, and I was ready to go home. So I was sitting in the airport ready to, we were in Gwangju City and waiting about 6 o'clock in the morning for a connecting flight to Seoul, Korea. And from Seoul, we want to fly to Los Angeles. So I was sitting, and then we got the news that because of bad weather in Seoul, there the airplane flight was delayed now, and they didn't know when it would be cleared to fly. So there I was sitting, and just, I was not a happy man. I was tired, not ready to go home. And so I didn't want anybody to know I was there. I didn't want to be bothered. It was just, I was really tired. So suddenly, the lady who owned the shoeshine, there was a shoeshine shop at Gwangju Airport, and she was the owner, and she recognized that I was the man of God who had been ministering in the city. And so she very gently and bowing several times, so humble. The Koreans are so precious. And she did not want to be rude, but she said, "Could you say a prayer for me?" And so my interpreter was sitting by my side. I was so glad that they were there. And so I said, "Okay, well, just put your hand in mine right now." And I just wanted to say a simple blessing. And suddenly we entered the glory bubble. And I could see her entire family in the spirit realm. And I told her that I see that she has three children. Her oldest son is in the military. And that I could see her husband, that he gambled most of the living she made, and that he would beat her, and that the glory was going to come, and she was going to get a breakthrough, that her husband would, in the next few months, come to that the angel of the Lord would visit him, and he was going to become a believer. And the Lord started giving me words for her, and she was so astounded and blessed and crowded crying. And then she went to her fellow workers and told her, "This man said everything about my life. He knew it."
Now that sounds like a story I read in the Bible. He knew everything about me. Remember the woman at the well? And she went around telling other people. Well, this woman in the airport went around telling other people what happened.
That's true. Then the stewardesses and the pilots started lining up. And then other people, all the workers in the airport started lining up. And there was a long line. Eventually, it went through a circle around most of the internal areas of the airport, and they started phoning their friends in the city. So pastors drove from the city to the airport to get in line. And we stayed in the bubble. I could see all of their lives. Well, I could, you know, just some of the major things about their lives. And I would, when the pastors came, I would see some of them, their building plans, what God was doing, and even some of the things that they had forgotten to put there that they needed in the plan. So it kept on and on until from about 6 o'clock in the morning till about 12 noon. And then they said, "The weather has cleared, the flight is ready to go." And I said, "Well, thank you, I've got to go now."
It sounds to me like you could have gone as long as you wanted to, as long as that you were in that glory bubble.
That is true.
And speaking about the glory bubble, you had an angelic encounter, and as a result, you did a very powerful soaking CD, which is called Enthroned When God Reigns, and then a guest that I've had on Messianic Vision by the name of Susie Yari, and her team sang along with it. Tell me about the visitation.
This was just about a year ago that Bon had gone outside. My wife had gone with a little team to another city, and I was alone at home, and I was in my study trying to get a book, and suddenly I heard this noise, and this was not, I was not unconscious, or I was asleep, or anything. I was wide awake, and an angel, this is one of the few times that there was a manifestation. I saw him right there come in his presence. I saw him. He had armor on, and it was like there was a smoke of battle that he still carried. And he was very young-looking, and he smiled at me. But there was amazing power and that he carried with him and great sense of victory. And he came and smiled at me, and then he said, "How big is your chair?" Then as he was saying that, the sound that came with him, it was like he carried the wave of the sound that had been around him, wherever he had been, and I heard the singing of "Come Thou Almighty King," the hymn. The words came with him. So I was around in that vibration for about a day and a half, and when Bonnie came home, she said, "Something happened. I know, I can feel it in the house." "What happened?" I said, "Well, I saw an angel," and he said, "How big is your chair?"
What does that mean? How big is your chair?
Yeah, that I wondered, Lord, what does that mean? And then I realized that the scripture the Holy Spirit gave me, that was how, in Psalms, that God is enthroned on the praises of his people. So we are, but through our praise and thanksgiving and worship, make a throne for God. And he sits on the throne. And so when we praise the Lord in whatever circumstance we are providing, making a throne for him. And therefore, he is enthroned in our circumstance.
I'll tell you, as I read about your vision, and as I listen to your new CD, and I read your book, I think everyone should enlarge the throne or the chair of God in their presence. And then they'd probably be walking in that glory bubble you were talking about.
Well, the Lord showing that the Lord, he is wanting to anoint us more and more for the coming days, that his glory is thickening around us, his presence around us individually, and even as believers corporately, that churches and people who just love him in prayer groups, that the presence is going to be there for some of the near impossible miracles, that we are seeing the manifestation, and we are going to see more and more breakthroughs.
Are people being healed right now?
I sense that there is, as the glory is thickening around them.
As you're speaking, the glory is really thickening, that I can tell you.
Well, I feel like people, there is someone whose father has got prostate cancer, and they can just speak the healing for that. There are a couple of other. There is one that has got a kidney dialysis that the Lord wants to heal, and the liver disease that people, God's healing several people of liver disease, and if they'll just put the hand on the eye, there's an eye that's been damaged, and a back that has had whiplash, and there's someone with metal in their body somewhere, that the Lord is doing a miracle in that body.
I hate to interrupt you. We'll pick up here by faith on tomorrow's broadcast. But Mishpucha, do you enjoy the atmosphere of heaven? That's what is surrounding his brand new book called The Power of the Cross, Epicenter of Glory, and his CD, Enthroned When God Reigns. This is what he has learned, and this is how he walks in the glory. This is how the miracles are released, available for a gift of $29. Call our order only line, 1-800-447-2697. 1-800-447-2697. My guest, Mahesh Chavda, you had an angelic visitation which told you how we can literally have a full dwelling place for God, how we can literally have the atmosphere of heaven, the glory of God. Tell me again what that angel said to you and what it meant.
His presence came, and it was less than a year ago, And he said, how big is your chair? And then the Holy Spirit opened to me the understanding. And it put in my heart, that God is enthroned on the praises of his people. So we provide and make a throne for God. How big in our hearts is the praise and the worship? And the more we praise him and focus on him in every circumstance, the more he's enthroned. And it has to be real in our lives. And then then the glory is released from the throne. The glory comes on the basis of the finished work of Jesus on the cross.
You know, and as you were sharing on yesterday's broadcast, you started moving in words of knowledge. And the presence of God is just as strong right now. One of the things I love about your brand new book that we're making available is literally just off the press, The Power of the Cross, Epicenter of Glory, is that you talk about the different realms of glory. And one of the realms I hear very few Christians talking about, and that is the glory on Israel. Explain what you believe God means by that.
Well, God is, so that's, that in Israel, it is the source of where our salvation comes. Salvation, Jesus said, is of the Jews. And so, God manifested his glory, and the people of Israel saw it in the wilderness. They saw it in the Ark of, over the Ark of the Covenant. You know, even the movie that I'm a movie nut, you know, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, it talks about that presence that was in the Ark. And, but that is the Lord used Israel to release his glory to the nation. And so we owe a debt of gratitude right now, today. I believe that as we honor Israel in its prophetic place, it's the place where the Lord is going to come back. It's the place where he presented himself as the Lamb of God. And therefore, our hearts should be touched for our brothers in Israel and our brothers and sisters, and always be the first to defend Israel and bless Israel. So we have a prayer watch that has been going on continuously for about the last 16 years here in Charlotte, and hundreds of watches around the world called the Watch of the Lord. And our center, our focus is to bless Israel and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I believe that there is a kind of prosperity, a glory prosperity that comes on people and on their children as they bless and pray for the peace of Jerusalem and bless Israel.
Well, I believe that you've had so many encounters with the Lord, and it has to do with blessing the apple of God's eye. I really believe that. For instance, a few years ago, you had a visitation of the glory of God in your congregation. Briefly, tell me about that.
In 86, Sid, we had an awesome visitation of the Holy Spirit. And it began with Bonnie and I feeling like we were asked that we should go on a 21-day fast and ask the congregation to go on a fast. And suddenly, we felt convicted we should all get together for prayer in the early morning. And as we do so, hundreds started coming, and the presence got thicker and thicker around us. And there were hours where we didn't want to say a word. We would just lie before the Lord, and he would walk in our midst. In fact, Brother Derek Prince was with us there at that time for whenever he could be there. He physically loved being there. He thought that was the greatest, one of the greatest visitations he had ever experienced. And then there was one time where all of us simultaneously saw an open vision of the cross, tall and bloody, glorious and inviting, planted firmly in the center of the sanctuary. And that, it started transforming people. There were people I know who were alcoholics, who were having difficulty with the great alcohol, that instantly got delivered. There was a husband who was really just, he was into pornography. His wife was very concerned. I remember doing counseling for them. And he was instantly delivered. And I realized that it's the power of the cross, the glory revealed the cross to us, and we were able to walk in the deliverance and healing of the cross.
This is why this brand new book of yours that's literally just off the press called The Power of the Cross, Epicenter of Glory. That's why this is your emphasis in this book. And, you know, I have found that so few Christians understand the blood, understand the cross, understand the glory, understand the finished work of the Messiah. How important is that to all the miracles that take place when you speak?
Absolutely. The cross is where we become conquerors. The cross is the emblem of glory and victory over all the powers of darkness. So, and that's where I find it, you know, the compass point points us to Jesus Christ and Calvary and the finished work of Jesus, the blood that was shed at the cross.
You're seeing so many miracles. Especially, I love it when people are healed of stage 4 cancer. Tell me about one healing.
There's a lady named Donna who came, this is just about, I think about 4 years ago, so, but to one of our meetings, and when she was praying in the middle of the big, this large auditorium, Lord, you know, cancer is not too difficult for you. And at that same moment, I verbalized her prayer, and I said from the podium, cancer is not too difficult for the Lord. And now she was in stage 4. The doctors had said, there's nothing else we can do. We can provide hospice care, but that's all the answer we have now. She was dying of breast cancer. And as she was in the glory, it was like in the bubble of the glory, the presence of God. Whatever she was saying, I was saying. And whatever I was saying, she would start saying. And then in the middle of that, I said, there's a lady with cancer in the breast. Come on up. And the Lord instantly healed her. And she's still alive, going around different places, sharing about how she got healed completely from the breast cancer terminal. And I believe that as we are sharing this, the glory, that vibration, I believe there is someone that is listening now to our voices here, that the Lord is touching that breast cancer, stage 4.
Now, Mahesh, I happen to believe that God laid a foundation in you many years ago when you had a job in a school for learning disabled children, and you had a supernatural lesson about love. Explain that.
Well, the Lord, when he filled me with the Spirit, I just heard him say, I'm making you an ambassador of my love. And I thought, wow. And then there was an opening at a school for mentally handicapped. It was an institution, in fact, that the kids, about nearly 1,500, lived there permanently, were severely handicapped mentally and physically. But the Lord opened the door. I got there, and the Lord said, I died for them too. And I started loving these little ones, and I knew God loved them so much. And then it was at that time I said, Lord, how can I practically love them? And the Lord showed me to pray and fast for them, especially for a little boy with Down syndrome who was 16 years old, who would continuously mutilate himself and beat himself. And I said, you know, Lord, you've told me to love this. How can I love him practically? And he said, this kind does not go out except through prayer and fasting. So I didn't know much about it, how to do this. And I started learning, and the Holy Spirit seemed to start to teach me how to do it. And on the 14th day, I took him to my little cubicle. It was in this large office. And I said, Stevie, even though you may not understand, your spirit does. I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. He came to die for you. And in the name of Jesus, I command that oppression to go from you now. His body was physically thrown back many feet. And in fact, his feet kind of dangled for a few moments on the other side of the wall. And then he slithered onto the floor and let out this sigh. And when he did so, the whole area was filled with this very dank, bad smell of burning sulfur and rotting eggs. And then it went away. And I knew that Steve, something had happened to him. And they used to have tie his hands up with splints so that he couldn't bend his arms to beat himself. And I untied those hands, and he for the first time, started putting his hands softly on his face and crying, because he knew he had been delivered. And when I helped him up, he had been crippled, and he started walking perfectly. And I realized that the Lord had touched him. But that's where I learned that there is power in the name of the Lord to heal every kind of infirmity. And
but you know, I believe you have to know God's love for you to be able to minister God's love to other people like you do. And I go all the way back to that when you were a young child and you had that heavenly visitation. And literally the light beams in heaven were alive. And they were singing a song to you. And I believe if you'll sing that song right now, people will get healed.
That song, the light beams, sang to me the voice of the Lord from the cross saying, I love you, I love you, I'll always love you. I love you, I love you, I'll always love you.
I'm just sitting in the manifest presence of God. That reminds me, Mahesh, of when you had the angelic visitation and the angel asked you a question. What was the question and what did it mean?
He asked me, how big is your chair? And then I realized the revelation came to me that it's connected with Psalms, which says God is enthroned on the praises of his people. That we make a throne in our hearts, and the more we praise and thank him and worship Jesus Christ, the more we make a throne big enough where signs, wonders, miracles, and breakthroughs become almost a permanent element of our lives so we can share the love of Christ with others.
You know, when I was listening to your brand new CD, your soaking CD, Enthroned When God Reigns, you talk about dancing on the doctor's report. Have you ever done that, or do you know people that have actually done that because you're so sure that God's report is better than the doctor's report that people literally dance on their medical reports?
Absolutely, and that's, you know, he's great. He is the truth. There are other truths around us that are minor truths, and then he is the truth. So the truth, I am the Lord that healeth thee, is the great truth that overwhelms all other truths. So yes, we have done that. And both our sons, we have two sons. One is now 30, the other is 25. And they were both terminal when they were born. And I saw literally when my son Ben, they were told him, you know, I mean, all the x-rays showed his kidneys, he was born terminal. That, in a sense, we danced on the doctor's report because we saw a few months later as we were praying in the intensive care unit, this golden cloud that I talk about, and that light, living light over his crib in the, at that time, the Miami Children's Hospital, at that time it was called Variety Children's Hospital, and the Lord's glory came and recreated his kidneys, and now he's 30 years old. And
what happened to your second son?
He got healed. He was born at 5 months, barely 5 months in the womb. So he was very premature, weighed only 1 pound, and then he lost weight, and he had severe brain hemorrhage. His intestines had died, and so he was dying, and the Lord had me. I was supposed to go with Brother Derek Prince, accompany him to Africa, and then he went on from Zambia, he went on to Zimbabwe. I flew to Zaire, and there, as I was doing a meeting one morning, the glory came, this golden light. And I spoke a word saying, there's someone whose son died this morning. Come on up. And as I prayed for the son, the glory not only raised the son in the Mama Yomo Children's Hospital, he's in the morgue section,
From the morgue? He came back to life?
Yeah, he was in the morgue. And his family, according to tribal customs, was mourning over his body. And the boy sneezed twice and woke up. And then that glory went, a few thousand miles and touched my dying son's body in Plantation General Hospital in Florida, South Florida. And now he's just totally restored. He graduated with honors. And
can you imagine the bubble of God's glory